So if you've got your Bibles, let's go back to Psalm 19. Almost said Psalm 119. I got used to doing that for so long. But Psalm 19, and let me turn this other microphone on. Sound man, be happy with me. All right, Psalm 19, and we are going to look down. Let's just look at verse number 13 and verse number 14. And I'm not going to read, we read originally from verse number 7 to verse number 14, but let's just read the last two verses, which is kind of our focus, and then we'll continue looking at this giant of presumption. And I think the main thing everybody got out of, at least most people got out of last Wednesday, was the difference between assuming and presuming. And because that's been talked about ever since. But we're not going to recap all that, but we are going to continue on, and we're going to look at some, at least the first of three areas where we tend to presume, and this giant of presumption kind of finds his way into our lives. And we're going to look at that first way that we do that type of thing this evening. But look at verse number 13 and verse number 14 of Psalm 19. It says this: "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins." By the way, you notice there is a plurality to the sins. It's not just presumptuous sin. It's not just one thing we're talking about. We're talking about the ability to be presumptuous in many different ways and many different aspects of our lives. And so, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." And I kind of differ from, at least at this point in my study, I differ a little bit from some of the theologians of the past that I've read and looked at the commentaries, and many of them take that whole thing of being innocent from the great transgression. They almost stick it into an aspect of a child of God having a great transgression in presumptions. But at the same time, when you look at the plurality of presumptuous sins, "Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression," I believe ultimately that is looking at, more than anything else, that is looking at the rejection of Christ, the great transgression, the rejection of Christ, presuming that I can find another way without having to have Jesus. I can find another salvation and another key to heaven, another path to heaven, without God's path to heaven. And the great transgression is the unpardonable sin. There's only one sin that God cannot forgive, and that's the sin of rejecting his Son, because it's only through his Son that forgiveness is given. And so therefore, you reject the Son, there is no forgiveness. Every other sin is forgivable, but don't, listen, I mean, put it this way, don't mistake forgiven for consequences disappearing. Forgiven sin is forgiven doesn't mean that the consequences won't still come your way. And so that oftentimes is seen as a great confusion as well. Well, I thought God forgave me, then why am I going through this? Because it's the natural consequences. Just because you've been forgiven doesn't mean that that what is coming your way, because you sow and you reap. Just because God forgives us doesn't mean that he is going to annihilate the harvest. Sometimes it still comes our way. Ask David what that's like. David faced... You say, oh no, but David prayed, and then he accepted what God had said. Yeah, but David faced, even after forgiveness, David faced his entire remainder of his life of watching his family fall apart, watching one person kill another person, the sword never left his house. It wasn't just the death of that baby. It was a continual issue from that one bad decision, and there were others as well. But David knew what it was to be forgiven by God, but still face consequences. So, the great transgression, that's a whole other, I chased that rabbit, hopefully shot him, okay? So, you want to be innocent from the great transgression. Verse number 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's pray, and we'll look at this first area we tend to presume in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Pray that you would use this time as we look at your word to encourage us, help us. Or I need your help. I need you to use, Lord, what is going to be said for your honor and glory, but also that you would clarify through it all with your Holy Spirit in the hearts and of every single person that is here, that we would see this truth and understand what we're looking at from your word tonight, Lord, that we would be confident in facing this giant of presumption in our life. Again, thank you for this evening, the opportunity to be here. Meet with us in a very real way. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So we already dealt with the assuming versus presuming. And we've talked about a good bit already concerning the sin and the struggle with presumption that we have to a degree. But we're going to look first off, and we said there's three areas. Again, there's probably more, but three we're going to focus on over the next couple of Wednesday nights. That we tend to allow presumption to take place in our lives, and by presumption, we end up getting ourselves into trouble. And here's the first one. We presume strength. We presume strength. And that presumption of strength in our lives leads us to failure. We presume we're going to be strong enough. We presume, well, I can do all things through Christ. Yeah, that's great. I can throw a lot of passages of Scripture at things too. I can take Scripture that sounds really good and throw it at anything and hoping that it sticks. That's what people do all the time. Judge not that you be not judged. They throw that one too. I mean, there's lots of scriptures you can grab that are like these perfect little quotes and perfect little sayings that might fit the scenario, but it doesn't mean that it actually does anything technically for us. Yes, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But we're talking about being presumptuous in my own strength. Now, I mean, let me say it this way. If I'm going to do something that I want to do, I can claim I can do all things through Christ all I want, but if it's not the will of God, he ain't with me. If I'm doing something outside the will of God, I'm on my own. He's not going to strengthen me to go against his will. He's going to stand back and say, okay, you know, you're just going to keep on pushing. Let's see what you got. Oftentimes, as human beings are, especially men, we like to be, you know, we're going to handle this. We're going to take care of this. We got this. Famous last words. But we oftentimes go into it, and it might start off well. We might start off good, and then things change. Or how about this? And this is just something I want you to consider. Sometimes we start off well. We get through it. We finish it. It's done, and we did what we planned to do. But what we fail to understand is without God involved in the scenario, if it's not God's will, he will not be involved. And without God involved, we can make things happen, and we can get things done. But we always do it with multiplied more times amount of energy than it would have taken had God been involved. I can push things through, or God can open the door and it just go right on down the road. I can force something into happening and work myself to the bone. And when it's done, feel like I accomplished something. And then, you know, the Lord come back and say, you know, you could have done that with my help if you would have waited on me. And then once you did it with my help, you wouldn't be so tired right now. I've been there, done that. One thing we learned when it came to going into public schools and trying to get in and educate the educators on what can be done in a public school when it comes to character education in the Bible. Well, one thing we noticed very quickly is there are some places that are very much open to it and some places where just trying to get a meeting with somebody is like pulling teeth. And then if you got a meeting, you can tell as soon as you sit down whether or not what you're saying is striking a chord with that person or it's falling on deaf ears and you're just wasting your time. And you might be able to push enough and nag them enough where they'll give you, you know, okay, we'll put you in the gymnasium, we'll throw all the kids in there and see what you can do. If it works well, we'll let you come back. Well, that's not the ideal scenario. Going to give me 300 kids at one shot and expect me to make a difference in one shot, one kill mentality. That's not going to work. The way this thing works and is really effective is in the classrooms, smaller groups, on a consistent monthly basis, and working with them bit by bit, and you start seeing a change. Even if you give us, give us the detention class. Give us the ones that are in detention. That's oftentimes where they would stick us to begin with, the kids they are having problems with. You can fix them, we'll let you talk to the others. And when that happened and they gave us those classrooms, it never failed. Eventually, you saw, matter of fact, several schools, they started off with a pretty decent detention class to work with. Within, I think it was about 4 months or so, they had to cancel the class because there was nobody in detention. And so they started letting them go into the classrooms. And then the entire school started getting the benefit of what was being taught. But we learned this much through that. You can kick a door down and make something happen. And the entire time you're trying to do something good, be miserable and wearing yourself slap out because it wasn't the door the Lord was opening. It's just the one you wanted opened. And then we learned the places that we thought were going to be the first place to open up and the places that actually opened up were on two different spectrums of our intent of what we were going to do and our plan of how it was going to work out. But we often found if we'll just follow the doors that are clearly open because God's already doing a work, we have full free reign to do whatever we feel needs to be. They ask us, what do you want? When do you want it? How often can you come? I mean, just wide open. Anything we ask for, we got, versus trying to beg them to at least give us a chance. When God's involved, the headaches in the scenario changes. When God's involved, the ability to do something takes less of my strength because it's more of His strength. His ability. But we presume to be strong. We presume, I'm a good Christian. I can handle it. I'm going to get to that one in just a minute. But this presumption of strength, you see in verse number 12, it says, cleanse that last part of verse number 12, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Oftentimes, it's the things that nobody else knows that's going on in our personal lives, the things that we keep hidden, and let's just be honest, there's not a single one of us in here that doesn't have some area that we really don't want anybody to ever really know about. Maybe it's an attitude towards someone else, maybe it's a temper, maybe it's a particular thought pattern or plans that we know aren't really what God would have, but we're still going to plan to do it anyway. Whatever it is, we all have something. Maybe it's even worse than that. But we all have something that if we were to take, you say, no, I don't think I do. Okay, so if we were to take your entire life and everything you're doing and all that's going on and we could put it all up on that screen tonight and watch it, would you be comfortable? I would venture to say nobody in here would be, okay? Because we are humans in a sense of sinful flesh. We do tend to have things that become hindrances to us that we allow in our lives. And these secret faults are things that cause us and oftentimes lead to a presumption that I am strong enough when I don't even realize there are things going on that limit God's ability to work in my life the way he needs to help me. There are things where I am limiting the Holy One of Israel. I'm limiting the Holy Spirit of God working in my heart and life. I'm a little resistant to some things, but those are secret. Those issues aren't really talked about. I really don't even bring it up to myself because I don't want to talk about it. We got to be careful with these secret faults. And that is what the psalmist is putting here and laying out in the area of cleanse thou me from secret faults, this presumption of strength. We need to understand a couple of things, okay? A fundamental truth about ourselves. Number one, we are not okay. Number two, we are not fine. How are you doing? Oh, I'm okay. I'm fine. No, we're not. We're sinful humans. Now, I'm not talking about just your day-to-day stuff, but I'm saying just in all honesty, there are many times we relay one thing while we actually know another. Anybody can put a facade on the outside for a short period of time. God knows the real us. God knows the real struggles. God knows the real faults. And even though it might be secret to everybody else, it's not secret to God. How can God cleanse us from secret faults if he's not aware of them? He can cleanse us because he knows them already. He's fully aware of those areas and those struggles. We are not fine. We are not okay. We have not got it all together. I'm going to give you a personal example, and I'm going to be careful with some of this, but he and I have talked before about it, and I know his testimony, if it could be used to help anybody, he would love for it to, but my wife's brother, Cody, is in prison. And leading up to all that took place in his life that put him behind bars, there was a time frame in which, and she knows as we talked about it, when it was going on, there was a time frame when I personally noticed some things going on that just didn't seem right. And I noticed that there was a little bit of a mentality change taking place that I thought maybe was just me seeing things or maybe just me imagining things. And so I went to him at one point and I started asking him some questions because he was working EMT and he was in an ambulance and then, you know, just found out that him and the partner he's working with, they always put a guy and a girl together because you're going to run into multiple situations and so they want to have both abilities and I do understand that, but you know, I asked him at one point, I said, hey, Cody, do y'all have anybody else that rides with you, or is it just you and her? Oh, it's just us, but it's just work. It's work. It's work. Uh-huh. Okay. How many hours do you spend in that vehicle together alone? Oh, but it's just work. It's work. It's work. We see lots of things. We do lots of stuff. It's no big deal. It's just another day. It's just work. But here's what it came down to, and here is the statement he literally said. I've got this. I've got this. In other words, I'm strong enough. Don't worry about me. I've got this. I can resist any kind of temptation. There's no big deal. Nothing to see here. No issues. And I told him outright, I said, listen, this is dangerous. This is open opportunity. Whether you have it now or not doesn't matter. What matters is a prolonged exposure to opportunity will give you a much higher increase in probability. But he kept going in the mindset of, I got this, I got this, I got this. And in the end, no, it got him. A whole lot of other things just, I mean, it just really caught up. Now, I give that example for this one reason. I'm sure y'all could give examples of people you know as well. Things you've seen happen for other people as well. But I simply give that example for this reason to let you know, we often presume we're strong enough to handle what it is we're facing. We presume we're strong enough to resist whatever it is we might end up coming up against. Oh, I know, I'm ready for it, I'm strong enough. Oftentimes when we presume to be strong, we're the only one who is actually fooled is ourselves. And we step into things and we do things and we attack things. Sometimes we go into battle not realizing we're not ready for it because we think we're strong enough to handle it. We presume strength, which leads to our failure. And let me just say it this way as well. I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't believe, and if you want to argue about it, that's fine, whatever. I'm not saying anybody would, but there are people out there that would. But I'll just put this way. I believe the way that young people, the way that young people should conduct themselves when considering courtship or marriage or anything of that nature, the way that a young, just out of teenage, maybe into brand, just barely into their 20s, and they're looking to get married, the way we expect them to conduct themselves in a moral manner, and we should, you know, hey, be above reproach and all that kind of stuff. I don't care if you're 30, 40, or 50 years old or older. You should conduct yourself the same way when in a relationship. Oh, but we're adults. Oh, so you can handle it. You've got this. So you can be alone and not have a problem. So you can go do things together with nobody else around and not give in to the temptations. Because kids can't do that, but adults can. I'm throwing it out there because it's everywhere. It's all over the place. People become older adults, mature adults, and they get to a point down later on in life, and they think all of a sudden, you know, I'm an adult. We don't have to abide by those same guidelines of what, you know, keeping our, we're adults. We can handle this. We can do that. That's the problem we have as human beings. As Christians, we often think, I've got this. We've got this. We don't have to do those extra things. We don't have to be so cautious. We don't have to put boundaries on ourselves like we used to. We're adults. We've been around. Yeah, and we're just as sinful as we ever were. And maybe as an adult, even more knowledgeable of sin than we used to be. And so therefore, we're that much more likely to fall prey to it because we think we can handle it. Now, you could take that example and go in many different areas of life. But if we're not careful, we presume strength. And we wonder why we fall prey to the giant of temptation, the giant of self. And then, of course, the giant of guilt comes in. This presumption, this giant of presumption, so seemingly insignificant and yet so dangerous. When we attempt to have a mentality that we're fine, we're okay, we can handle this, we fail to understand that we genuinely are not and we genuinely cannot handle sin, handle the flesh. We are incapable. Just because I'm a little older now doesn't mean I'm now more capable of diving into something without having to worry about it. No, I'm just as susceptible to falling to sin as as an 82, 83, 84-year-old person as I am to, as an 18-year-old person. Doesn't matter. And everywhere in between, we are just as susceptible to falling into sin. All precautions must always be handled with care in our lives at all times. Look real quick, if you would, at Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to give you just a, here's a small example, and we're going to move on. All right? This is not going to take long on this part. Luke 12, verse number 16. Y'all might recognize this individual. And the Bible says in verse number 16 of Luke 12, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" He said, "Preacher, how does that fit in?" Very simple. He thought, "I'm so blessed. I'm so strong and mighty and powerful with all my goods and wealth. I'm strong enough to just do it the way I want to do it. I don't need God. I don't need his wisdom. I don't need help. I don't need anybody to give me input on anything. I'm just going to do it the way I want to do it." And the Lord says, "Thou fool." He reached a point where he thought he had arrived and he was strong enough to do what he wanted to do. And the Bible very quickly reminds us that without the wisdom and guidance of the Lord, everything we intend to do, everything we hope to do is just presumption. I presume I'm going to wake up in the morning. Why? Because I've done it before. I presume we're going to have tomorrow to do things. Hey, we're hoping that this weekend we'll have a good turnout, and we're presuming that it's going to go well and we're going to have clear skies. We're presuming we'll even be there. Because everything outside of just following the will of God and saying, "Lord, if it be thy will," everything else is presumption. I hope, I plan, I'd like to see it that way, but it's completely in God's hands as to what happens. Let me just give you these quick things and we'll end. When it comes down to who we are as human beings, and it comes down to our struggle with presumption, it comes down to the reminder of, no, we're not okay, and we're not just fine, and we don't got this. Look at what we're facing. Look at what we're robed in. Look at the daily battle we have with this flesh. And no, on our own, by ourselves, just looking at us, we don't have the ability to be victorious. There's not a single giant we've been talking about or will talk about that is going to fall because of us. Every giant we face is going to fall because of the one that backs us up. Because of the one that desires to work through us and fight for us and be on our side. But if we just go ahead and put him on the bench and we say, "I've got this, I'm going out in the battle myself." No, the giant's not falling because of how great we are. The giants fall because of how great he is. And it's only by how much he's allowed to get involved that we can understand what victory is all about. If he's not allowed, victory will not be realized. But if he is allowed, if the Lord is allowed to do the work in our lives and through our lives to fight for us, alongside us in this battle, then victory can be realized. But we by ourselves cannot dare assume or presume that we have the strength to just step out on the battlefield every single day. By the way, every day you live is a battlefield. Every day you live is a fight. Every single day, we better put on some armor. Because the enemy is not going to say, oh, wait, they're not ready. We'll have to wait for round two. No, the enemy sees you wide open and weak. He's coming with everything at that moment. So what are we if we're not strong? Pretty simple. Give you a few passages of scripture. We are, number one, we are sinful. And Christ is our Savior. Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We were without the strength to take care of the sin problem because we're sinful. He's the Savior. Hey, we're weak. We are weak. And Christ is our strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We talked about that verse already. Using it appropriately is realizing that I can do through the will of God, following the will of God, allowing Him to lead and Him to guide and the Holy Spirit to work in my heart daily. I can do all things. Even if facing this giant seems to be hard, I can do it through Christ, not through me. We are imperfect. And Christ is our righteousness. Philippians 3:9. So it says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We are imperfect. We are sinful. We are weak. We are imperfect. And we're needy. Not a single one of us in this room aren't without need tonight. We are needy, and Christ is our all in all. Philippians 4:19 tells us, reminds us, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We are a very needy people, not just needing of financial help, and not just needing of other physical help. Hey, we're needy of spiritual help. We cannot fight a spiritual battle and even remotely hope to win without His help. We should default at understanding ourselves as being incapable. You say, preacher, how is that supposed to encourage us to fight a giant? I don't want you to fight a giant. I want you to take Christ your Savior and go face a giant. If anybody encourages you to go face a giant and doesn't remind you that if you go by yourself, you're about to die, they're deceiving you. They're misleading you. Listen, we can't even hope to stand up and say, hey, who do you think you are? Squash. That's what I mean. They will completely destroy us. These giants will overrun us. You step up and try to be what you need to be all for yourself, and you'll fail. We have to default in our understanding, in our mindsets concerning ourselves, and the fact that we are incapable. So you wake up each morning and you wake up realizing I'm incapable of making it through this day as a Christian without Christ. You wake up and you realize, you say, Lord, I'm going to start my day, but I'm incapable of having a right spirit without Christ. I'm incapable of making the right decisions without Christ. I'm incapable of even hoping to be able to give wisdom to anybody that would ask of me or ask my opinion. I'm incapable of giving any wise counsel without Christ. I am 100% incapable. No, I'm not strong enough to handle it. I'm incapable, which is why I must have Christ fresh, right there, ever present, and which means my fellowship with Christ, the Holy Spirit of my Heavenly Father has to be right at all times. Otherwise, I'm on my own. I better not face a battle at that moment. Very quickly, and we'll end. Here we go. Last thing. Christ is the only one who is completely capable, so therefore we have to bring him into the equation. Go very quickly, last area, Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28 through verse number 31. We'll read this and we'll be done tonight, and we'll take some prayer requests and pray together. Isaiah 40, verse number 28. Down to the end of the chapter, which is verse number 31, says this: Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. If we rely on, well, I'm young, I'm capable, I'm strong. No, even the youth are going to fall. Even the young men will have trouble. Verse number 31, but they, now watch, this, we know this one well, Isaiah 40, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So are we capable of facing giants and seeing them fall as a default as to who we are? No. Who we are is flawed and messed up because of sin. We are not capable. We are not fine. We are not okay. We don't have this. We ain't got it. But we do know the one who does. And by allowing him to be brought into our daily walk and our daily life, then it's not presuming strength because of who I am. It's knowing there is strength because of who he is. I can only hope I could do something. I know he can do anything. So we bring Christ into the equation. Else, if we leave God out of it, we leave our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ the Son, we leave all of them out of the equation of our daily life, then we have nothing left but to presume we have strength. And we presume we are strong enough, that is when we find ourselves failing once again. Then, of course, the giant of guilt comes back in, and then the giant of temptation will follow him again, and this round robin starts all over. Presumption. Presuming we have strength and not realizing we have nothing apart from what he provides. So how much is Christ allowed to influence and be a part of and guide and direct our life on a daily basis? That is the big question concerning the strength of a child of God. It's all about how much is he brought in to the equation.